From the New York Times, I'm Michael Barbaro. This is The Daily. Today, was James Comey's fate decided 2 days ago or 2 months ago? The Times follows the story to what now looks like its inevitable end. And if the mood was dark, it is now pitch black. The view from inside an FBI that's just lost its leader. It's Thursday, May 11th. The idea that James Comey could be fired first occurred to most of us on Tuesday afternoon.
Thank you for joining us. We are continuing to follow the breaking news.
When we learned that James Comey had been fired.
Has been fired just 3 months ago. This was the man that Donald Trump blew a kiss at and said he's become more famous than me.
Hello, hello, hello.
Hi, Peter. It's Michael.
Hi, how are you?
Good. I'm sure you're very busy.
It's okay. How's it going?
But my colleague Peter Baker has traced it back further. So for most of us, this story started on Tuesday afternoon when we got some version of a breaking news alert, or in my case, 4 breaking news alerts, and it came as a complete shock. Where does the story of James Comey's firing really begin?
Well, to hear the White House tell it, it began actually the day he was elected. They said he's been thinking about getting rid of Comey from the very start.
Was it a mistake not to ask Jim Comey to step down from the FBI at the outset of your presidency? Is it too late now to ask him to step down?
No, it's not too late, but, you know, I have confidence in him. We'll see what happens.
Which, of course, begs the question of why then he expressed confidence in him repeatedly,
right,
and through a spokesman in the 4 months since then.
Does the president support Director Comey? Then a quick follow-up.
I have no reason to believe he doesn't. He has not suggested that to me.
But really, if you look back at the way this relationship evolved, you have to look back at March as a pretty key moment, because that's when Director Comey goes up to the Hill.
Mr. Chairman, Ranking Member Schiff, members of the committee, thank you for including me in today's hearing. I'm honored to be here representing the people of the FBI.
And he testifies two things. One,
with respect to the president's tweets about alleged wiretapping directed at him by the prior administration.
That there's no evidence whatsoever that the president is correct when he had blamed his predecessor Barack Obama for supposedly wiretapping.
Right.
The department has no information that supports those tweets.
And two,
that the FBI, as part of our counterintelligence mission, is investigating.
Confirm that the FBI is, in fact, investigating people from Mr. Trump's orbit in their possible connections to Russia and their meddling in last year's elections. That clearly was not a happy moment for President Trump. And so from that moment on, you know, you could sort of trace the deterioration of his supposed regard for the FBI director.
You know, at any moment, as best I can tell, President Trump could have fired James Comey, just given the power of the executive branch over the Justice Department and the director of the FBI.
Yes.
When do you think, Peter, that President Trump knew he was going to fire James Comey? Was it this moment in March when he was watching this hearing?
Well, what we've heard is that basically he's been stewing about this now, particularly strongly over the last week or so. He was angry at last week's hearings where Director Comey testified again.
Look, this was terrible. It makes me mildly nauseous to think that we might have had some impact on the election.
He stewed about it a lot over the weekend. Apparently he was in Bedminster, New Jersey. He talked about it with a very tight circle of aides, venting about Comey. And only then, on Monday, told his circle he was ready to pull the trigger and fire the FBI director. Now, what the White House says is that the deputy attorney general and the attorney general came to the White House Monday to tell the president that they, independent of him, had decided that Comey should go.
Interesting.
And the president told him, we'll put that recommendation in writing. Well, that doesn't completely square with the account that we're getting from other people close to the president who say this has been something that's building up over the last week in particular.
What happened in that week?
I think what really was just driving it was this sense that the Russia investigation wasn't going away, that it was sapping the energy out of his victory he hoped to have in healthcare.
Interesting.
Just last Thursday, the House voted to pass the healthcare bill, repealing President Obama's version of healthcare. And Trump took that as a big victory. He gathered everybody on the lawn of the White House to celebrate. And he was, you know, he was ecstatic.
Thank you very much. This really is the group. What a great group of people.
And yet here we keep having this drumbeat of testimony and headlines about the Russia investigation.
Breaking news, a classified briefing. New confidential information has just been released to members of Congress regarding the Russia investigation.
It was eating away at him.
FBI Director James Comey just wrapping up a roughly two-hour classified hearing.
In fact, on Monday, the day before he fires the FBI director, he sends out on Twitter a message saying that this is a total hoax and a taxpayer-funded fraud that ought to be stopped. In other words, he, the president of the United States, publicly said the investigation into his own circle of people ought to be halted. And the day after that, he fired the FBI director who was leading that investigation.
Peter, stick with me for just a minute on this. But is it possible that a president upset about the Russia investigation since its start has taken a perceived error by Comey in the Clinton investigation and used that, kind of reverse engineered this all as a reason to take care of some very different business over Russia by getting rid of James Comey?
Well, that's certainly a reasonable suspicion. They're, of course, citing the Hillary Clinton investigation and how Comey mishandled that in their view and in the view of a lot of Democrats. But, you know, if that's the case, why suddenly now in May is that the reason to get rid of him? Nothing that they put in the letter from the Deputy Attorney General indicated anything that had happened after October of last year. So all the information he used, in theory, to make this decision was available to him on January 20th, the day he took office.
Got it.
They couldn't explain anything that basically had happened since then that would change their minds about that, except to say that he had lost the faith of people in both parties. And that's true, by the way. It is fair to point out that Democrats have not been friends of Jim Comey. They've been very critical of him.
Well, it's obvious he was a partisan in all this.
Comey.
Yeah, part of Comey, yes.
They've been very harsh on his handling of the Hillary Clinton investigation.
What he did was authorize what I believe to be a needless investigation, 11 days, which I have no doubt, and I believe that the Clinton campaign's polls show this, that it made a big difference.
If he really thought Democrats were going to support this, you know, I mean, you know, Sarah Huckabee Sanders, the president's spokeswoman, said at the podium on Wednesday, quote, "It's startling that Democrats aren't celebrating." Well, that's a big miscalculation and a big misunderstanding of how Washington works. Just because the Democrats were unhappy with Jim Comey did not mean that they thought the president of the United States, whose people were under investigation by him, should be firing him. That's taking it one step further than the evidence did.
I never called on the president to fire Director Comey. I had a lot of questions about how he handled himself. But the overwhelming question is this: if the administration had those same questions, the events occurred months ago, and they should have fired Comey on the day they came into office. All of them occurred before he came into office. So that does not seem to me to be a very logical or persuasive explanation.
There is, however, something new in the Russia investigation that our colleagues are starting to report on.
Well, there's a report my colleagues, Matt Rosenberg and Matt Apuzzo, that suggests that Director Comey had actually asked for more resources for the Russia investigation.
So he was therefore trying to broaden it.
And just trying to broaden it and clearly signaling that this is going to be a serious and intense investigation that wasn't going to go away anytime soon.
We also now know that Comey came recently to the Justice Department, to the Deputy Attorney General, that he asked for more resources for the investigation. We know the same day that Comey was fired, the Comey FBI that issued subpoenas, grand jury subpoenas, to some of the associates of Mike Flynn. And then he gets fired later that day. So,
and, you know, the Justice Department has now turned around and denied that there was no request for additional resources. So we're, you know, there's some conflict here over the two versions of events. But if that was the case, if Jim Comey told them, "I need more money, I need more resources for this investigation," it clearly was a signal that this wasn't going to go away soon.
Peter, you've been talking to some of these people inside the White House. From what you can tell from those conversations, did they see any of this coming? Did they anticipate this fallout from firing Comey, especially these dark comparisons to Richard Nixon?
Well, you know, it's hard to imagine that they didn't, in the sense that, it's just an obvious parallel, even though the details are different. But I think this came up so late for those who were not in the loop that they didn't really have much time to prepare for it. There was no real communication strategy. They put out a press release and they put out the letters and they more or less thought that was going to be it. And they said they were going to be done talking for the day. And then they realized that they were having critic after critic on TV.
And it's a grotesque abuse of power by the president of the United States.
Coming after them, and the president is watching this with nobody defending him.
This is not normal. This is not politics as usual. This is something that is completely outside how American law is supposed to work.
And so suddenly they have to go back out in public to try to, you know, balance out the discussion.
This man is the president of the United States. He acted decisively today. He took the recommendation of his deputy attorney general, who oversees the FBI directory. It doesn't make sense.
And it's kind of that's a new talking point.
It makes complete sense because he has lost confidence in the FBI director, and he took.
They clearly did not have a pretty aggressive communication strategy here. Maybe they thought that late in the day it wouldn't get as much attention that you know, I don't know, but it didn't clearly work out the way they could have hoped anyway.
Peter, thank you very much.
Thank you.
We'll be right back. So what was the mood inside the FBI before this week?
I think the mood inside the FBI before this week was dark.
Adam Goldman has been covering the FBI for years.
The FBI had felt under siege.
After the FBI and Department of Justice whitewashed Hillary Clinton's email crimes.
Beginning with the campaign when Trump accused it of being corrupt.
They certainly cannot be trusted to quickly or impartially investigate Hillary Clinton's new crime.
The darkness was not internally driven. It was dark because of the attacks on the organization's integrity.
Likewise, they have essentially corrupted the director of the FBI.
My name is Frank Montoya Jr. I spent 26 years in the FBI and retired last year as a senior executive in the Bureau.
He stated many things, but it's far more, and he knows that.
It was the attacks, you know, from the campaign trail, from the White House, you know, accusing the FBI of being political, accusing the FBI of not being objective.
And the FBI rolled over.
Not knowing what it was doing when it came to the Russian investigation, because it was a hoax or fake news or whatever. That kind of stuff really ticked people off.
They were worried about their brand. You know, FBI agents are very concerned about the reputation of the Bureau. Mm-hmm. The number one rule in the Bureau is don't embarrass the Bureau.
Hmm.
And this seemed to have happened with Comey's missteps. And they wondered about the future of the Bureau and its credibility. And had it been so severely damaged that, in essence, it would be difficult for the Bureau to continue.
So you're describing a pretty dark mood that's fallen over the Bureau in the past couple of months. What about now that the president has fired the director of the FBI?
Well, once what was once dark is now pitch black.
Hmm.
They lost their commander-in-chief. They lost their leader.
To me, it's just mind-numbing. It's not, I think, exaggeration to say that it was a political assassination or that we should fear for the future of the republic. I mean, that's how bad I see it. And I was in federal government for 30 years, 4 in the Army and 26 in the FBI, and I've never seen it like this before.
They understand why Comey did what he did involving the Clinton investigation, but they feel like he had done a good job trying to guide the Bureau through this tumultuous time, which includes, you know, two unprecedented investigations
right.
into Hillary Clinton and Trump's associates. And then for them to sack Comey like the way he did. Comey was in L.A. giving a talk when he saw on TV that he had in fact been fired by
right.
the president.
Right, right, right.
And they were outraged by that.
He's in Los Angeles. He's reaching out to the field offices and he's, you know, doing a pulse check, seeing how things are. And then to find out via the media, to be pulled aside and say, no, this is not a joke. This is the real deal. You know, how that disrupts not just the meeting with those individuals in Los Angeles, but the 56 field offices across the United States headquarters. I mean, they didn't know about it, you know, to find out in this very public and embarrassing way.
Trump didn't even have the decency to bring Comey into his White House and say, thank you for all the service you've done. I wish you the best of luck. We're going to go in different ways. No, instead, you know, he fired him when he wasn't even in town. Essentially abandoning him in L.A. It wasn't even clear if Comey was going to be able to take the government jet back.
Wow. Adam, you're telling us that James Comey was widely beloved. Why was that the case? And just how widely?
Widely. I mean, I've yet to meet an agent, and I know a lot of agents who had negative things to say about Comey as a leader. They might have taken issue with some of the decisions he made in the Hillary case, but you know, they liked his management style. He's a warm, charismatic person.
And one of my favorite things was you could send him an email or you could call him and say, "Hey, we did this operation and there were some really great work done by this analyst or this special agent or this support staffer." Mm-hmm. And he'd make personal calls to them. You know, mm-hmm. It was so unprecedented in our organization that it was, you know, kind of the source of a joke that people would question that it was really the FBI director calling. It became a highlight of their, not just their day, but really of their careers.
What was your reaction to Donald Trump's decision to fire Jim Comey?
Outrage, disgust, anger. Frustration.
One agent described to me that when he got the news that he felt physically sickened. I think that Trump seriously damaged the trust factor. I don't think there is a lot of trust left in this relationship. And the course we're headed on now, it's only going to get worse.
It very definitely could get worse.
Adam, did many FBI agents support President Trump during the campaign? He had an appeal to law enforcement, as best I can recall.
Yeah, he was clearly pro-law enforcement, Trump was, and outspoken on behalf of law enforcement. And I think that resonated with a lot of FBI agents who are naturally conservative.
Mm-hmm.
That's the demographic, just like you would find in state or local law enforcement. And that resonated with them. And you know, I would talk to them about some of Trump's rhetoric even before the election and which he called the FBI corrupt or which he criticized Comey. Mm-hmm. And they sort of blew it off, right, as campaign rhetoric. It's just a bunch of hot air.
Interesting.
And now you've seen Trump actually fire their boss. And I think their tune's changing a little bit. I think they're realizing that if they did vote for Trump, it might have been a mistake.
Did you have a reaction to that letter from the president?
So let me just give you the information that we have. This is the letter that was written to Director Comey from the president, Donald J. Trump.
About the need to restore the credibility.
It says it's essential that we find new leadership for the FBI that restores public trust and confidence in its vital law enforcement mission. He punctuates it by saying, "I wish you the best of luck in your future endeavors."
That was a slap in the face to FBI agents. You know, their position is, are you kidding me? You're saying we lack credibility? You needed to restore this? Somehow we weren't the same FBI agent a week or 2 months or 3 years ago or before Comey came? I think they found that pejorative and insulting.
Do FBI agents believe the president's explanation for why he fired James Comey, that it was about the Clinton investigation, not the investigation into Russia?
I haven't talked to a single agent who believes that explanation. In FBI jargon, I think they might say it's a crock of shit.
That's fascinating. None of them believe it.
None of them believe it.
What do FBI agents you talk to say they think is going to happen with this investigation into potential collusion between President Trump and Russian foreign agents now that FBI Director Comey has been fired?
I think FBI agents are legitimately concerned whether they will be able to pursue this investigation till it ends.
Hmm.
One person joked to me, all those people doing counterintelligence work on Russia are soon going to be chasing criminal gangs. That one fear was they were going to actually move people off the counterintelligence squads to do criminal work.
Do you trust President Trump to allow the FBI to conduct a thorough and fair investigation into potential collusion between those close to him and Russian intelligence officials?
I seriously question that likelihood. I don't want to say no because this is still America, but you know, we have checks and balances and there are a bunch of dedicated people in the organization, but I seriously question whether we're going to be able to do that. You know, is the next director of FBI going to be somebody who is easily controlled by the White House? Is it going to be somebody who's going to be allowed to have an independent voice? How is the focus and direction of the organization going to be turned mm-hmm. with this new person? And yeah, that causes anxiety too. I mean, they're pros. They will continue full speed ahead. There's a lot of stuff that they're doing or that needs to be done. You saw the four subpoenas issued yesterday. That stuff will continue unless, of course, they're told to stand down. And that's always a possibility.
I mean, this isn't an institution. While they do their investigations quietly, you know, they're not going to remain silent. If there are FBI agents or executives who are involved in the Trump investigation and they feel that they are being stymied by the Justice Department or the White House is trying to influence it, they will make noise, you know, either through the media or through the oversight committees. They're not going to remain silent about this.
Interesting. I mean, if I'm reading between the lines, what you may be suggesting is that the president is picking a fight or starting to pick a fight with powerful, independent-minded investigators.
I think traditionally when presidents pick fights with organizations in Washington, they don't come out on the better end of that.
Adam, thank you very much. Appreciate it.
Yeah.
We'll talk soon.
Okay, bye.
Bye. On Wednesday, James Comey sent a farewell letter to his former colleagues at the FBI. "I have long believed," Comey wrote, "that a president can fire an FBI director for any reason or for no reason at all. I'm not going to spend time on the decision or the way it was executed. I hope you won't either. It is done, and I will be fine, although I will miss you and the mission deeply." Here's what else you need to know today. The Times is reporting that just last week, James Comey sought to expand the FBI's investigation into possible collusion between the Trump campaign and Russian intelligence officials. Comey asked a Justice Department official for an increase in resources for his investigation. That request was made to Trump's new Deputy Attorney General, Rod Rosenstein, the same official who then wrote the memo criticizing Comey, which was used by Trump to justify firing Comey. The Justice Department is denying that Comey made the request. And Comey's firing seems to have given a new sense of urgency to a separate congressional inquiry into Russian meddling. On Wednesday, the Senate committee investigating Russia's interference into the election made an aggressive move, demanding the records of President Trump's former national security advisor, Michael Flynn, who was fired for lying about his communications with the Russian ambassador to the U.S. Finally, bipartisan demands for another independent investigation into Trump's ties to Russia are growing. From Republican Senator John McCain to Democratic Senator Richard Blumenthal.
What's needed is an independent, objective, impartial prosecutor.
But Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell has ruled it out, saying it's unnecessary.
Today, we'll no doubt hear calls for a new investigation, which could only serve to impede the current work being done to not only discover what the Russians may have done, also to let this body and the national security community develop countermeasures and warfighting doctrine to see that it doesn't occur again.
That's it for The Daily. I'm Michael Barbaro. See you tomorrow.